the Johnson Wax Program. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly with Donald Novis, the Four Notes, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Rise and Shine. Every few years, a new labor-saving product is introduced on the market. The washing machine, the vacuum cleaner, soap chips, ready-mix flours, and then Glow Coat, the labor-saving, no-rubbing polish for floors. Now the makers of Johnson's Wax announce a new labor-saving product that has been badly needed. A polish for automobiles that does a double job. Its name is Johnson's Car New, spelled C-A-R-N-U. Johnson's Car New does two things at once. Both cleans and wax polishes your car in one simple, easy operation. Doesn't that sound like an improvement over the old-fashioned cleaning and waxing job? Well, it certainly is, because Johnson's Car New saves you both time and hard work. This new double-duty polish is a liquid that goes on quickly, dries to a powder, and comes off quickly, leaving your car with a lustrous wax sheen. Surely it's worth an hour of your time to give your family the thrill of having a new-looking car to ride in. So get a can of Johnson's Car New today at your filling station, garage, auto supply store, or your regular wax dealer. Do the double job of cleaning and waxing in one easy operation. And you'll say with thousands of other car owners, your car looks like new when you use Car New. There's a spring clearance sale of hats at the Bon Ton department store, so Molly has left Fibber to finish his breakfast alone. And here in the living room at 79 Wistful Vista, with the morning paper in his left hand and a saucer of coffee in his right, we find the, quote, master, unquote, of 79 Wistful Vista, Fibber McGee.
United States cruisers Quincy, San Francisco, and Tuscaloosa arrive in South America on Goodwill Tour. Wonder why they always send battleships on a Goodwill Tour. It's like sending Boris Karloff to deliver your Valentine. Come in.
Is this Does Fibber McGee live here?
You betcha, bud. I'm Fibber McGee.
Okay, here's a cablegram. Here's a wire for your wife.
Oh, a wire for Molly, huh? Wonder who this is from.
Search me. I never see the interior. All I see is the outside.
Oh. Where do I sign, bud? Right here?
No, on the fourth line from the bottom. Oh, sign it any place.
Okay, bud. How do you like working as a telegraph messenger, bud?
Oh, it's quite congenial. It's not bad. The hardest part of it is when they ask me to sing a birthday greeting over the telephone. Boy, is that tough.
That guy ought to be good at singing sentimental messages over the phone. He's got a nice catch in his throat. Wonder if I ought to open up this telegram. I hope that ain't that messenger again. I was hoping he wouldn't notice I didn't give him a tip. Come in.
Hello, Mr. McGee. Me bring him back laundry. $2, flawless license, please.
Okay, Gooey Fooey, here you are.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much.
By the way, Gooey Fooey, what do you do with all the money you make?
Oh, it's a very expensive for keeping the son in college.
Oh, I see.
But not much longer. Our son, he graduates from Colgate in June.
Oh, is that so? Graduates from Colgate, eh?
That's fine. Did he make any of the teams?
He climbed really hard for make a football, blasted blog, flat cleam, and lowing on clue.
Lowing on clue? Oh, you mean rowing on the crew?
Yeah.
Didn't he make any of them, Gooey?
Oh, no, he still is too hard, you see. All the muscles in the brains, no brains in the muscles.
Well, that's tough. Too bad, though, he couldn't win his letter after 4 years at Colgate.
That's what he said, too.
That's
yeah, he said, ha, 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 long time, no see. Goodbye now. Come on.
Takes a guy with a happy faculty of winning football games to make the faculty happy. Don't you get it, Molly? I said, oh, she ain't here, is she? Dad ratted, if every knock's a boost, I ought to be higher than a kite. Oh, hi, little girl.
Hi, mister.
What's on your mind?
Hmm?
I says, what's on your mind? What do you want?
Will you please tell me a story? Will you please,
Oh, go on, sis. I ain't got time to tell you a story. Why don't you go on home and ask your mama to tell you a story?
Well, you got my mama, betcha.
Oh, yeah? What gave you that idea?
Well, gee, my mom said you're the biggest storyteller she ever knew.
Oh. She did, eh? I says, what the... I mean, she don't... All right, I'll tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was three bears.
Mm-hmm. I bet you've heard that one, I bet.
Oh, you have, eh? Mm-hmm. Well, you just wait till I get to the part where Goldilocks comes in. That's the love interest. Bear meets girl. Once upon a time, there were three bears, and their names was Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod.
That's that old Hollywood stuff, I bet you.
That rat, quit interrupting me, will you? What's Winkin' and Blinkin' and Nod got to do with Hollywood anyhow?
Well, I asked my papa who Winkin', Blinkin' and Nod were, and he said it was two producers and a yes man.
Ah, dear. Well, we don't seem to be getting any place, sis.
Sure.
Huh?
Hmm?
If you know so much more about my stories than I do, go on out and sit on the porch and tell yourself one.
I bet you I can't, I bet you.
You can't tell yourself a story?
No, I can't sit down.
Why not?
Hmm?
I says, why can't you sit down?
I got spanked.
Oh. Well, that's the best news I've heard. Who spanked you and what for?
My papa. Because I got bad marks in spelling, I bet you.
Oh, you did, huh?
Sure. My papa promised me a bicycle if I got good marks in spelling, but... Gee, am I lousy.
You shouldn't have ought to talk like that, sis. Besides, if your papa promised you a bicycle, you should have studied harder.
I couldn't. I've been too busy.
Busy doing what?
Learning to ride a bicycle. What's wrong, mister?
Fear apart, and at last.
wasn't over singing the way you look tonight. And Don, the way you sung tonight was swell.
Oh, it certainly was, Mr. Novus. I'm glad I got home in time to hear it. I've been downtown buying a new hat.
Gee, the one you have on, Molly? It's beautiful.
Hey, I think so, too, Molly. That's what I call a hat. Makes you look 10 years younger.
20 years.
30 years.
Who'll make it 40?
40!
Sold! 40 years younger to the gentleman in the blue shirt. Does anyone want to carry me piggyback?
No fooling, Molly. That's the best-looking hat you've had in years.
Well, I'm glad you think so. It's the only hat I've had in years.
What you mean?
Well, this is the old one.
Uh-oh.
Well, Molly, you're one of those girls who just has a knack of wearing clothes.
Oh, now, go on.
I wish you'd teach Fibber the secret. His pants are so baggy at the knees, he always looks like he's on his way home from a crap game. Well, see you later, folks.
He's a nice boy, isn't he, McGee?
Oh, yeah, in a crude sort of way. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Molly, here's a cablegram for you.
A cablegram? Well,
yeah.
For goodness sake, I wonder who this is from.
I don't know.
Well, heavenly days. It's from the Netherlands, from Rotterdam.
Hey, that's no place to write to a lady from. Who sent it?
Mort, too. Remember, he's on a world cruise.
Oh, yeah, Mort. Probably about that talking parrot I asked him to pick up for me. What's he say about it, Molly?
Well, he says, regret unable to find you talking parrot. Stop. However, oh, hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hello.
Boy, what's the matter?
Gee, you look kind of upset about something, Harpo.
Oh, I am. I'm terribly worried.
Oh, don't you feel well?
Oh, I feel all right, but did you see last Sunday's paper?
Why, yes. What about it?
Well, did you read Tarzan? They've got him in a terrible spot.
Don't take it to heart, Mr. Wilcox. He'll come out all right.
Yeah, don't get yourself in a lather. You don't have to worry about Tarzan.
Well, it's the same. I can hardly wait until next Sunday.
Is that all that's worrying you, Harpo?
No. I'm afraid the Johnson Wax people aren't going to need me much longer.
Oh, what on earth gave you that idea?
Well, gee, it certainly is discouraging when I walk up to a car owner and I say, brother, have you heard about Carnew, that wonderful new auto polish that the Johnson Company's just introduced? And that's as far as I get.
Oh.
You mean they don't want to hear about it?
That's just it. Everybody has heard about it. They say, yes, it's marvelous. We just apply it over the clean surface of our car and let it dry and wipe it off. And with hardly any effort, our old jalopy looks just like it came off the salesroom floor. So can you blame me for worrying? Gee, with everybody that uses Carnew turning out to be a salesman for it, where does that leave me?
Oh, wait a minute. Don't be so jittery, Harpo. Calm down.
Why, sure.
What would Tarzan do in a case like this? He wouldn't give up.
No, of course not. He'd just climb up in a tree and beat on his chest and defy the world.
Sure.
By George, you're right. I won't give up.
No.
I'll find somebody that hasn't heard about Carnew. You
betcha. He gets over that Tarzan complex by next winter.
Why, McGee?
Oh, I suppose he has to stop and polish a car someplace and he ain't got nothing on but a loincloth.
Oh.
Better read the rest of the telegram, cablegram, Molly.
Oh, yes. Regret unable to find you talking parrot.
Yeah.
Stop. However, knowing you love birds, have sent you beautiful stork.
Stork?
Stop. Should be there by time you get this. Stop. Regards. Signed, Toot.
Oh,
well, heavenly days, a stork.
That's a fine substitute for a parrot. A stork. I suppose if we'd wanted a bald eagle, he'd have shaved an ostrich for us. Stork.
Well, I suppose we'll have to take it, McGee. Call up the freight depot and see if it's here yet.
Okay, but I don't get the idea, Mortensen.
Hello, Fisher. Hello, Cupie. I hope I'm not butting myself in what I'm not wanting.
Certainly not, Mr. DePopulos. McGee was just going to call the freight depot.
Yeah, a guy was going to send us a parrot, but he...
Oh, parrots is being a wonderful bird, I'm thinking. It is a constant horse of amusement to me how birds is learning to talk like people. There's talking parrots, Florence Nightingale, stool pigeon?
We didn't get a parrot, Nick. The guy sent us...
You know, it's a funny coincidence that I'm reading about a parrot in a book just last night, which the name of it is calling itself by the title of a man whose name was Robin Hood Crusoe.
Oh, you mean Robinson Crusoe, Mr. DePopulis.
Oh, I stand connected. Anyway, these stories is being all about a sailor who's being marined on a desert island. He's a regular castaway.
Castaway.
Sure. Well, sir, this Robinson Crusoe is having almost hardly nothing to do with anything except this parrot and a cannonball, which he is life-saving from some other cannonballs, who is inviting him for lunch, and he was going to be the lunch.
Not cannonballs, Mr. DePopulis. Cannibals.
Oh, what is the difference? They're both a son of a gun to be monkeying with, I'm thinking. Anyway, Robin Hood is naming the savages My Man Godfrey.
His man Friday.
All right, but send him back Saturday because I haven't finished the book. Anyway, these parrots, which is being kind of a chicken in technicolor, is able to hold very intelligent conversation, which is just going to prove that parrots is different from people like you, Fizzer, because they're laying an egg before they're learning to talk. What I'm stopping in to have you see me about is that we're having a little party at our house tonight.
Oh.
But it's going to be pretty crowded, so why don't you go to a good movie?
Molly, do you believe in the hereafter?
Quite certainly.
Well, hereafter, when that guy comes over, don't open the door.
Oh, Mr. DePopulis is all right, McGee. Now get busy and telephone the freight people.
All right, hand me the...
Oh, dear. Come in. Oh, it's Mrs. Uppington. How do you do, Mrs. Uppington?
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. McGee and Mr. McGee?
Hi, Uppy.
I just thought I'd stop in, Mrs. McGee, to see your new hat. You did just buy a new hat at the Bonton, did you not?
Why, yes, I did, Mrs. Uppington. But it hasn't been delivered yet. Did you see me at the Bonton?
Oh, my, no. But my maid did. She says it's a wonderful place to buy hats. So economical, you know.
Oh, is that so, Mrs. Uppington? My, it must be wonderful to have your maids buy your hats for you. Personally, I like to select my own.
Oh, my dear, you don't understand. My maid buys all of her own hats there. I, of course, get mine directly from Paris.
Ah, you poor thing. How terrible. No wonder they're all out of style by the time you get them.
Molly's round.
But really, Mrs. McGee, they're not, you know. My couturier assures me that my hats are in the latest mode. Original Parisian styling, of course.
Oh, of course, Mrs. Uppington. McGee, remember what I said about that last hat of Mrs. Uppington's?
Huh?
Didn't I say at the time it looked real French to me?
Oh, well, that ain't exactly the way you put it, Molly. You said, get a load of the lid on Snooty Puss. It looks like the Eiffel Tower.
You see, Mrs. Uppington?
Yes. I'm so glad you liked them, my dear. After this, I shall send them over to you when I'm through with them, rather than throw them out with the rubbish.
Ah, well, that's so sweet of you, Mrs. Uppington, but I couldn't think of accepting them without making some precipitation. Now, I tell you, you must let us send our rubbish over to you.
Oh, why, that's quite unnecessary, I assure you.
Oh, but I insist, Mrs. Uppington.
It's too much, really.
Oh, not at all.
But, my dear...
Oh, but I insist. Must you be going, Mrs. Uppington, so soon?
Yes, I must be going. Goodbye.
Footwork, Molly. You and Uppington make the golden gloves look like a pair of lead mittens. Well, hand me the phone, Molly. I'll call and see if that long-legged Yankee clipper has arrived yet. Hello, operator. Connect me with the freight depot. Oh, is that you, Merch?
That is it. And to think that Alexander Graham Bell spent his life for something like this. I think I'll write Don Amici a nasty letter.
Quiet. How's everything, Merch? It is, eh? What? He is? They did? He will? Oh, that's too bad, Mert. How old is your grandfather? Huh? Oh, well, it's about time, isn't it? Let me get this straight, Mert.
They took a bullet out of his what?
Oh.
Is that so?
Oh, heavenly days. Did Mert's grandfather get shot?
Yeah.
Where?
Gettysburg. Yeah. Say, Mert, connect me with the railroad freight office, will you? Oh, hello, freight office? You got a stork there for Fibber McGee? Huh? Due in on the 224, eh? Geez, 215 now. Okay, bud, we'll be right down. Come on, Molly, we got to meet the 224.
All right, dearie. Play something, Mr. Mills.
We meet and the angels sing. The angels sing the sweetest song I ever heard. You speak and the angels sing, sing. Or am I breathing music into every word? Suddenly the setting is strange. I can see water and moonlight beaming silver waves break on some undiscovered shore. Then suddenly I see it change. Long winter nights with the candles gleaming. Through it all, your face that I adore, you smile and the angels sing. And though it's just a gentle murmur at the start, we kiss and the angels sing, 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 and leave their music ringing in my heart, my heart. I can see water and moonlight beaming, silver waves break on some undiscovered shore, 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 shore. Suddenly I see it all change, long winter nights with the candles gleaming, through it all your face that I adore, adore. You smile, the angels sing, and though it's just a gentle murmur at the start, we kiss and the angels sing. And leave their music ringing in my heart.
That was the four notes, singing and the angels sing, accompanied by Billy Mills and his pearly gates. Now, you ready, Molly?
All set, McGee. Is there enough gas in the car?
Oh, plenty. I put 2 gallons in Sunday. Wait till I see that more troops.
Ah, there, Stuart Faye.
Oh, hi, Boomer.
Good day, Mrs. McGee. Have a little punch board here. Thought you might take a chance on a candid camera. Only 10 cents a punch. Very cheap, too. But to be candid, so is the camera.
No, thanks, Boomer. Not today.
Oh, go on, McGee. It'd be nice to have a camera. Let's see the punch board, Mr. Boomer.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you. Have it right here somewhere. Now, where I put that punch board... Punch board, punch board.
All right, come on, Boomer. We're in a hurry.
Oh, don't get in an uproar, Puzzle Pan. Have it right here somewhere. Now, where I put that punch board? Here's a letter from my son, Horatio Jr., inviting me to attend the commencement exercises. Clever lad, went through reform school in 3.5 years. Extra credits for pocket picking. Ah, what's this? Well, well, a bitter note from the finance company. Disagreeable people, bunch of back receipt drivers. I hear a little mechanical device for holding out aces in a poker game. Ah, yes. Goodbye, Mr. Chips.
Hurry up with the punch board, Mr. Boomer. We've got to get down to the railroad station.
Just as soon as I put in my upper plate. Let's see. Where did I put that punch board? Here's a photograph of my little sister, bless her heart. Quite a tomboy. Loves to get into slacks and breeches of promise. Small packet of arsenic. Going to play a joke on an old friend of mine. Yes, indeed. This will have him in convulsions. And a check for a short beer. Well, well, imagine that. No punch board. Wonder what I could have done with it. Well, I'll see you about it later, my dear. Good day, Adult Pace.
Good day, Mr. Boomer.
Too bad that guy can't go straight. His mother must have been frightened by a spiral staircase.
Now, come on, hop in the car, Molly.
You'll have to step on it a little, McGee, if we're going to meet the 224 now.
Okay, here we go. Pick up, will you?
Oh, better slow down, little McGee. We're not in that much of a hurry.
Well, I don't want to lose track of that stork, Molly. Somebody might mistake him for a crane and put him to work loading freight cars. And don't you get it, Molly?
No, I don't get it, but you're going to.
What you mean?
Here comes a motor car.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
All right, you pull over!
Get them brakes fixed. If you look in the book, officer, you'll find the first question is, where do you think you're going, to a fire?
A fresh guy, huh? This'll cost you plenty, buddy. Disorderly conduct, speeding, and going through a stoplight.
We did not go through a stoplight. That light had turned green.
Sure.
So did I when I saw how fast you were going. Now follow me to the police station.
Just a minute, officer. May I have a word with you?
Well, what is it, lady? Yeah? Yeah? All right, lady. Come on, buddy. Follow me.
Okay. What is this, Molly? This ain't the way to the police station.
We're not going to the police station. We're going to the railroad station.
What? At 50 miles an hour with
sure.
an escort?
Sure.
Hey, what did you tell that cop?
Why, I just told him the truth, dearie. I told him we were expecting the stork.
River and Molly will be back in just a moment. And now, may we have your attention? When you go into a home that has beautiful gleaming floors, you feel genuine admiration for the woman who lives in that home. A glossy, polished floor is always a sign of good taste. Now, there's no reason why you shouldn't have floors that are so bright and clean that everyone will admire them. Johnson's self-polishing Glow Coat will quickly give your floors a wonderful, lustrous polish without rubbing or buffing. Just apply and let dry. Glow Coat makes linoleum sparkle like new in a few minutes' time. And did you know that Glow Coat is just as important for porch floors as for the floors in your home? Well, it is. Glow Coat shuts out dirt and grime, saves you hours of cleaning work. You'll enjoy your porch much more when the floors stay clean and bright with shining Glow Coat polish. Glow Coat is spelled GLO-COAT. Johnson self-polishing Glow Coat. Insist on the real thing for brighter luster, longer wear.
Well, now that we've got a stork, McGee, what on earth are we going to do with it?
Well, I'm going to keep it till a week from Thursday and then present it to the Wistful Vista Zoo.
Well, why don't you give it to them today? Why wait till a week from Thursday?
Oh, I don't know. Just habit, I guess. I always like to get the big bills out of the way by the first of the month. Good night.
Good night, all.
May we suggest that when you visit the New World's Fair, you be sure to see the 15 beautiful model homes in the town of tomorrow. On all the floors and woodwork of these homes, Johnson's wax polishes are used exclusively. This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat at Racine, Wisconsin, inviting you all to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
The Way You Look Tonight is by Jerome Kern. This is the National Broadcasting Company.